Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have one case on our 10:30 docket that we'll pick up now. Rolling Plains Management versus Hobbs. If the clerk will please announce counsel who will be arguing today.
May it please the court, Mr. Nick Gray to argue for the appellant and Mr. Melvin Corray to argue for the appellant.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right, Mr. Bray.
May it please the court, Chief Justice Livingston, Justice Stefano, Justice Walker, counsel. My name is Nick Bray, and it's my pleasure to be here this morning arguing an issue on behalf of Rolling Plains Management. And our issue is whether or not the trial court incorrectly denied its plea to the jurisdiction on the basis of lack of notice to a governmental unit under the Texas Tort Claims Act. The primary issue is whether or not it received the proper notice that Patty Blackburn sustained an injury from an accident, a vehicle accident, that occurred in Wichita Falls back in May of 2010. It is our position, and has been all along, that they did not receive the proper notice. The record that you have before you and the facts in that record are undisputed. For instance, there is no fact, there is no record that Rolling Plains Management was ever given formal notice. I don't think there's any question about that. The real issue is actual notice. There is nothing in the record that provided to indicate that they were provided with the actual notice they are required under that statute. There is nothing in the way of any report of an emergency responder that would have put them on notice or give them subjective awareness of an injury. There is nothing in the record from any hospital or any physician that would have put them on notice of an injury. They went beyond that. They conducted an investigation. The person responsible for conducting an investigation did so and was unable to uncover any information that led to the conclusion that Ms. Blackburn had sustained an injury. Again, as I've noted in the brief, Ms. Blackburn is deceased, but it has nothing to do with this accident. It was other issues, medical issues that are unrelated to the accident. At any rate, the two critical words I think that are pivotal in this case are subjective awareness. As the court is aware, in the Supreme Court's decision in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice v. Simons, the court emphasized those two words, subjective awareness of the elements that they're required to have under the formal notice. In that particular case, the critical issue was one of notice of fault. That's not our case here, but it's still one of the elements, and Rolling Plains Management was entitled to have sufficient notice that it was subjectively aware of an injury. That never occurred. There is nothing in the record to establish that. The arguments that have been made and what it appears that the trial court relied upon was information that would lead someone to believe that maybe or possibly or might have been an injury. But there was nothing that actually showed or established that Rolling Plains Management had the subjective awareness of an injury that it was entitled to have. There are a couple of cases that the court's well aware of, the Jenkins case, City of Wichita Falls versus Jenkins. That's your case. That one is not applicable here, for one thing, because there was formal notice given. Mr. Longcar's office wrote a letter clearly outlining the elements, so there was that particular part of the statute was satisfied. The court went one step further and pointed out that even if the formal notice was insufficient, there was actual notice. In terms of an injury, it did not focus on injury. What it focused on was the property damage. There was clear evidence that the individuals, the complainant or the claimant's vehicle had been damaged. We don't have that issue in this case because the other party's vehicle, they're not even in this lawsuit. What we have is someone who was a passenger on our bus. We're not talking about property damage. The actual notice in Jenkins, the court did not focus on whether or not there was an injury. It was just merely property damage. The other case is City of San Antonio versus Johnson. The San Antonio Court of Appeals was pretty well following what most of the courts of appeals were following at that time after the Cathy versus Booth decision from the Texas Supreme Court. And that was basically a couple of things. Number one was you can impute knowledge to the governmental unit when someone with authority in that unit to conduct an investigation or to make decisions regarding claims is provided with sufficient information to have actual notice. The other is that a governmental unit may have actual notice to the extent that a prudent entity would investigate or conduct an investigation or conduct further investigation to determine whether or not they may be potentially liable. That is primarily what they relied upon. In that case, the police officer had simply made a notation, and this was in a new style police report. And under the injury code, there is a letter that is placed in the box. In order to understand what that means, you have to go to a separate document that is a key or a roadmap of what certain codes mean in order to understand what is meant. In that case, the code or the letter that was placed in the box simply meant possible injury. Also, there was evidence that the individual involved said, I may go get checked out later on my own. I don't need any medical care at the moment. In our case, you have nothing in the record before you in the way of an accident report that establishes or tends to establish or puts someone on notice that there was an injury. Getting medical care or seeking medical care merely as a precautionary matter does not constitute the notice that's required of an injury. There again, it's back to possibly, maybe, might have been, that sort of information. We have to have more than that. Again, I go back to the two critical words, subjective awareness. We have to take ourselves back to the point in time shortly after the accident, 6 months after the accident. Did Rolling Plains Management have subjective awareness that Patty Blackburn was injured as a result of this accident? No, they did not. Still going back to the Johnson case, City of San Antonio versus Johnson, the Texas Supreme Court overruled the San Antonio Court of Appeals, basically saying we have this date disapproved of this type of analysis. They didn't go into a lot of detail as to why they were overruling the Johnson case. They simply cited to the Simons case and pointed out that there again, there has to be subjective awareness of the actual injury. In that case, there was an issue of fault. But still, it's all of the elements of the notice that's required. So those two cases, I cite those to the court primarily because I believe those are the governing cases in this case.
But in this situation, aren't there like three or four employees who have been made aware of the accident and actually take affirmative steps to assist Ms. Blackburn?
There were. Sharon McClanahan was the bus driver. By the way, we have two Sharons here. We have Sharon McClanahan and Sharon Bowman. Sharon McClanahan was the bus driver. Her first thing was to call or have someone call 911. There's a little bit of question as to who actually made the call. It was to call 911, not because she was aware of any injury, but because that's the policy. Let's call 911, get her to the doctor. Also, Ms. Blackburn had a lot of pre-existing conditions. I believe that in the record before you, there's something about she had a back brace on or something like that. I believe that was because of a prior back surgery. Also, the next step was Sharon Bowman. She is the person in charge of investigating the accident or accidents of this type. That is really critical because she went out of her way to try and find out all she could about whether or not Patty Blackburn had been injured. She calls the hospital. All she is told is she is being released today. That is critical. I'll touch on that in a moment. She also calls another driver for Rolling Plains Management who has been dispatched to go to the hospital, pick up Ms. Blackburn at the hospital, drive her all the way back to Alney, Texas, and deliver her to her home. She also even talks to Ms. Blackburn herself. And out of those conversations, she is not told anything about an injury. I mentioned something about the hospital releasing her. That is critical. When you stop and think about it, this is a woman who has some prior conditions. She's wearing a back brace. She goes to the hospital to be checked out. If there's a problem, you would think she would have been admitted. She's released. And not just released, but released to travel in a bus all the way back to Alney, Texas. That in and of itself not leads to the opposite of is there an injury or not, but if they are releasing her, obviously she is not injured. And then again, talking to the bus driver.
Doesn't that argument go more towards a summary judgment on no evidence of injury instead of a plea to the jurisdiction on subjective awareness? I mean, if someone is in the bus and they're observed, they are observed to come out of their seat, they are observed to hit the floor of the bus by the bus driver, and the bus driver calls 911, I mean, that seems like that's pretty subjectively aware of an injury that's occurred, at least by hitting yourself on the floor of the bus.
Two things. Your first point was the fact that she's dismissed from the hospital would go to the no evidence issue on injury.
Well,
on summary
reading
judgment.
Your whole brief, it looks like this is a brief that would be no evidence of an injury, or a brief supporting a motion for summary judgment on no evidence of an injury, that in fact there is no injury. Whereas I'm just not sure, in the cases that you've discussed at the outset of your presentation, you candidly admitted none of them discuss what constitutes subjective awareness of an injury. And I'm just not clear that for purposes of notice of the Texas Tort Claims Act, that subjective awareness of an injury isn't satisfied by visually observing a person come from their, you know, an accident happens, the passenger comes from their seat, the passenger hits the floor of the bus. Now, if she were claiming a toothache or something, that would be different. But, you know, so any clarification you can give on why the case law doesn't support the interpretation that that is subjective awareness of an injury and then the calling of 911 would be greatly appreciated. Because clearly, you know, I think that your point that there may not be an injury is addressable in a different context. I'm just not sure that a plea to the jurisdiction on no notice is the vehicle.
They're closely intertwined. The thing is, though, you're right. To a large degree, this could serve as an argument for no evidence of an injury or a motion for summary judgment. However, back to the subjective awareness. And this is what Judge Fudge was focusing on in the trial court, and that is she comes out of her seat and lands on the floor of the bus. That is the initial step. That would be the same as if I'm walking on the floor of this building here and I slip and fall and the bailiff or someone observes me fall and I slap the floor pretty good. Is that in and of itself sufficient to put the state or the county or whomever on notice that I have sustained an injury? That does not appear to be what the Supreme Court was looking for under subjective awareness. The other things that I've been talking about go more toward the summary judgment, i.e., what did I say when I was asked, did I sustain an injury? And I say, I don't respond at all. If I go further and say, no, I don't want to go to the hospital, or I don't say anything and someone says, why don't you go get checked out? They make arrangements for me to be taken to get examined and so on and so forth. Yes, those kind of facts do go to the summary judgment issue, but we go back to the same question is, falling out of the seat onto the floor of the bus, slipping and falling here in the building, does that put the state or the governmental unit on notice, give them subjective awareness that there is an injury? And we're not talking about, I'm not making the argument here that we didn't get notice of a specific injury. I think that was one of the issues in Jenkins. They were saying, you didn't tell us what kind of an injury it was, an injury to the head, an injury to the back, an injury to the arm, something like that. We're not arguing that. The governmental unit in this case received no notice of any kind of an injury. And as I say, they went one step further and could not get any information regarding an injury. They closed the book on it and left it to be. The whole purpose of the notice being is, do we need to keep that book open, keep this file open, so that we can be prepared to defend the case, settle the case, do whatever it is we need to do. I hope I've addressed your question appropriately. Like I say, they're closely intertwined. I understand exactly what you're saying, because I could take this brief and file it as a summary judgment. But the initial part of it is the falling onto the floor. Does that put them on notice of an injury? I don't believe the subjective awareness element is satisfied.
But we don't have any Supreme Court or Court of Appeals case law addressing that specific element of subjective awareness.
I cannot find any. You have another case presently pending before you, the Boykin case. In that case, if I recall correctly, there's evidence where when the initial responders, emergency responders, arrived, there was a complaint to them about the knee being injured, serious pain in the knee, unable to move the knee, problems with range of motion, something like that, in the very initial parts of it, and that was related to whoever was doing the investigation for the DFW board. The other case is the same thing. Even in Simons, the guy got hit in the eye with a wrench or something like that. In the city of San Angelo versus Smith, the guy falls off of into a tank of some sort. There's clearly evidence that was reported to a supervisor or a claims manager. He's injured his ankle. In this case, it's nothing more than falling on the floor. There seems to be some argument to the effect that, well, she was rendered incapable of responding. That's incorrect, because in the record before you, she was asked, are you hurt? She just doesn't respond. When she's asked, why is your seatbelt unfastened? Well, I was getting my lunch money. So that argument really doesn't fly very well. I presume I'm out of time at this moment.
Yes, unless, judges, any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bray. Mr. Horaney, please.
May it please the court and opposing counsel. My name is Melvin Horaney, and I'm here today representing Patricia Hobbs, the administratrix of the estate of Patty Blackburn. Now, we're here today because Rolling Plains Management Corporation has alleged that the trial court erred in his decision that there was actual notice present in this case. Now, I want to discuss the law of actual notice, but I want to clear up some of the facts a little bit, because the analysis is highly fact specific in any of the cases you look at on actual notice. Now, on the day of the wreck, now Rolling Plains driver rear-ended the other vehicle and caused somewhere just under $3,000 worth of damage to their vehicle. Now, the impact was hard. It was so hard that it wasn't just a matter of Patty Blackburn slumping over. She flew through the air. She actually went airborne and slammed onto the floor to the front of the bus up right next to the driver. Now, at that point, the driver, Sharon McClanahan, observes all of this, and when she was deposed, she said she told another driver of Rolling Plains who happened to pull up at the scene to call 911. Now, as far as whether or not Ms. Blackburn spoke or not, when asked under oath about that, Ms. McClanahan said she said nothing. She didn't bring up any of a statement made about a seatbelt or anything like that under oath. She simply said, no, nothing was said. So at that point, after the driver's calling 911, she calls Sharon Bowman, who is the primary person responsible at Rolling Plains for investigating accidents. Now, Ms. Bowman asked her specifically, is anyone injured? And Sharon McClanahan made the statement, Patty Blackburn came out of her seat to the front of the bus, another driver is calling 911. Now, after that, there's some uncertainty about who was calling the ER. Now, Ms. Blackburn was taken by ambulance to the ER. During that time, either someone at the headquarters was calling to check on her. That's based on what Sharon McClanahan said in her deposition. She repeatedly called to find out about what had happened to Ms. Blackburn. She found out that, in fact, Ms. Blackburn had received medical treatment at the ER later that day. When the police arrived on the scene, they investigated. They wrote a report. Their report cited the driver, Sharon McClanahan, as at fault completely for the accident. They listed on that police report that Patty Blackburn was taken to the ambulance, or taken to the ER by ambulance. And so that report was actually obtained by Rolling Plains, and it was in their claim file, their accident investigation file. Now, Ms. Blackburn was injured in this incident. They took her home later. She didn't ever verbalize anything to them about that, but unfortunately, she did not get legal counsel until after the six-month period had run, so there was no time to give formal notice, and so there's no dispute that formal notice was not given. Now, after suit was filed, Rolling Plains filed their plea to the jurisdiction, and the trial judge held a hearing on that. At that hearing, he heard the testimony of Sharon Bowman. He talked to her. He had listened to her cross-examination. He heard the deposition testimony of Sharon McClanahan. Now, the judge, while doing all this, asked Ms. Bowman, he didn't talk to her much, but he did ask her, would you agree with me that flying to the front is more than just falling over? And she, in fact, did agree with that. And he was reading from the accident report that Sharon McClanahan wrote the day after the accident, in which she describes Ms. Blackburn flying through the air. It's also interesting to note on that report, they do mention, they write her name down as a person involved in the incident. Now, the case law, again, there is no direct case on point about injury, but something that's important to take note of is that in the case of Kathy v. Booth, the Supreme Court case, the court identified the principle behind the notice requirement, and the principle was to ensure that there was enough information for a government unit to investigate, to determine if they need to, if it's an unfounded claim, if it's a claim that should be settled, or if they should prepare for trial. That policy is the underlying principle that goes throughout all of the other cases that discuss it. You see it in almost every case. I can't think of one that policy is not quoted. Now, as far as the Texas Department of Criminal Justice v. Simmons, now that case was there was a concern about the way that the appellate courts were imputing notice with no specific information to government units. Now, that's why they have the subjective awareness requirement. It calls for some specific facts on the record to show notice. Now, now as far as the case before this court goes, the facts I've listed out, they observed her fly through the air. They called for her ambulance. They knew how long she was in the ER. They knew she got medical treatment, and they picked her up later. Now,
and can you clarify, excuse me, what was Ms. Bowman's actual title?
She was titled lead dispatcher, if I'm not mistaken. That should be in the record. But,
okay.
And that job was, I guess, she would coordinate pickups and that sort of a thing. But her, as part of her job duties, and she was questioned about that in the hearing, she did have the job to investigate.
Now, well, the problem I see, though, with your position, though, isn't this going to discourage people like bus companies and other transportation people from even having investigative teams? What if the Texas Department of Public Safety decides not to send out people to look at accident situations? I mean, that would be my concern with the subjective awareness test.
I believe that issue was raised in Texas Department of Criminal Justice v. Simmons, and the court noted it, but it said that there's going to be instances where they're going to still be afraid of the legal ramifications of an accident, so there should be there should be no incentive for them to do so. Now, the wisdom of that, I'm not sure, but the court does mention it. And as far as the city of Wichita Falls v. Jenkins goes, that case came down in 2010, and in that case, I think is relevant to this case, even though the part of the case that dealt with formal notice was that a letter was sent to the city informing it that a police officer had rear-ended the plaintiff's vehicle. Now, the letter simply alleged personal injuries and medical treatment. Now, the city did argue that it should have a more specific indication of injury, and this court rejected that notion and found that met the purpose of the statute, and that actual notice was present as well because of the information contained in the police report. Now, given that that information was simply about the parties, the incident, and damage to a vehicle, that's a lot less than what we have in this case, where we have all of the employees that were around at the time of this incident. They were all involved in not only observing it, but getting Patty Blackburn treatment by an ER, Sharon McClanahan didn't go check on the other driver first. She didn't do anything first but call 911 for Patty Blackburn. Now, the fact that Ms. Blackburn was unable to speak, that shouldn't take away from the fact that there is an obvious injury when somebody cannot get off the floor after a rear-end collision. And actually, a case on point to that would be Parsons v. Dallas County, and that is a case that came out a few years ago. It deals with an inmate who was injured in the Dallas County Jail when a table he was leaning on collapsed. Now, he was rendered unable to help himself. The jail employees arranged for him to get an ambulance. They called 911, like what we have in this case. They picked him up. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and the guards or whoever came to get him later and brought him back to the jailhouse. And so the county could not argue in that case that they were not aware of an injury when they arranged for medical care. And that was the key issue on that case, even though that case was not specifically about the issue of evidence of an injury. I think it's eerily similar to the fact that we have a 911 call, the ambulance comes and gets them, and they pick her up later. Now, it is Rolling Plains' job to pick up Ms. Blackburn. That was their job to do that. But it was also the job of the jailers and guards to go and pick up Mr. Parsons in Parsons v. Dallas County and bring him back to be incarcerated. Now, that does not detract from the idea that they still were aware of an injury. I think that the policy underlying Kathy v. Booth applies to this case. At the day of the accident and the investigation that occurred afterwards and the short time that happened, there was enough information there to give them subjective awareness that Patty Blackburn had been injured as a result of that rear-end collision. They had enough information to investigate, to figure out if they needed to prepare for trial and that sort of a thing. And so there's not a lot of guidance on the issue. I that's an important point to keep in mind when looking at this case. This was a large impact. The trial judge was in a position to speak to the witness and to have time to look at the record and read the motions that were submitted. And his decision was based on the fact that she went through the error and then had to have emergency medical treatment. At the minimum, she would have had a medical damage from the impact. She would have had a medical bill for the ambulance and for the ER. And there's no reason to assume that wouldn't be there. So injuries are present here. The trial judge was in a position to see that. And as far as whether or the example of somebody slipping and falling in a courthouse is not, I don't think, on point. I think that if the court were to overturn the judge's order, there could be another type of absurd result where if Miss Blackburn had been rendered into a coma and had not come out of the hospital, but all the facts are the same. They would say there was no notice because she could not verbalize a complaint. There has to be an ability. I mean, the notice statute is for this very reason. That's why there is an actual notice provision for a situation where somebody can't say what's wrong because they've been rendered unable to by an incident. If otherwise, there would be very no purpose for the statute. With that.
I have one other question. Under the statute, the actual notice provision, there's a six-month rule. Is there any time limit on the subjective awareness provision?
There's none that I have been able to identify in the case law. Under the facts of this case, on the day of the incident, they had quite a bit of information, but I'm not sure of what time frame when they got the police report, but they did get that for their claim file. The very next day, they had Sharon McClanahan write her driving report, like an incident report for their internal investigation. That's where she described Ms. Blackburn flying through the air. So I'm not aware of any kind of limitation that's been put by case law or the legislature. If there's nothing further, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Let's see, Mr. Bray, rebuttal.
A couple of things. First off, the record before you, there's no evidence that Ms. Blackburn required medical care. She was sent to the ER or sent to the hospital as a matter of routine or standard procedure. The same with conducting the investigation by Ms. Bowman. Standard procedure. Those facts in and of themselves don't establish the notice. I want to dispel something here about the medical bill, that in and of itself being some damage that would put the state on or the governmental unit on notice. That's an element of damage that flows from injury. Furthermore, in the Booth case, the Caffey case, the court said that what the governmental unit is entitled to notice of is injury, death, or property damage. The term damage doesn't encompass any and every element. Look at another example. An individual's in an automobile accident with a vehicle belonging to the state. They say, I'm not injured, but then say, you know, I'm just so stressed out from this accident, I'm gonna take a day off from work. And then later they send somebody wants to claim, well, they missed a day of work, that's loss of income. The state was aware of the fact that this person was gonna take a day off from work, so they're aware, they therefore have notice of an injury or a damage. I don't believe that's what the statute was supposed to involve or mean or whatever. Again, it's an element that flows from injury. I want to read from the Simons case. It is not enough that a governmental unit should have investigated an incident as a prudent person would have, or that it did investigate. Perhaps as part of routine safety procedures, or that it should have known from the investigation it conducted that it might have been at fault. I'd like to take that sentence, take out the word at fault, insert in there that the individual involved might have been injured. Here again, the court is emphasizing the fact that there are going to be investigations conducted. There are going to be standard or routine procedures followed. Merely following those procedures in and of themselves are not enough where you gather information that lead you to believe maybe, possibly, might have been, those sorts of things. There's got to be subjective awareness. It simply isn't there. I go back to what I pointed out earlier, even what Mr. Araney has pointed out, is the policy or the purpose under this statute. Put them on notice so that they can investigate, do what needs to be done to determine, do we leave this file open or do we close the file? The record before you shows that the Rolling Plains Management personnel responsible for this did conduct that investigation. The record you have before you, there is nothing as a result of that investigation or from any other sources that put her on notice, therefore Rolling Plains Management on notice, that Ms. Blackburn had sustained an injury. So it's our position that, unfortunately, the judge in the trial court did make a mistake in simply equating going to the floor with an injury. Again, back to my argument, falling to the floor is not enough in and of itself. Thank you.
All right, counsel, thank you for your arguments today and your briefing in this matter. Your case is submitted, and we hope you have a safe trip back home. And we're glad you weren't trying to come yesterday in that worse weather. As I said, your case is now submitted. That being the last case on our 10:30 docket, we will now adjourn.
Thank you.